knows where.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and thank you once again for joining me. Now, we have some very challenging times up ahead in New Zealand, and one in particular is the deadline for the submissions for the abortion law legislation. Now, that is coming up on the 19th of September. Very interestingly, that is the feast of Our Lady of La Salette. So I've spoken about La Salette a little bit, but I'll tell you just a bit of a synopsis here. Now, in 1846, on the 19th of September, Our Lady appeared to two children, Melanie and Maximin. Now, these two children were just looking after a few cows high up in the French Alps. And in fact, they were asleep, and when they woke up, they saw this globe of light. And the light opened, and they saw this beautiful woman dressed in native clothing, and she had her head in her hands, and she was crying. Now, this is the only apparition of Our Lady where she has appeared crying. So this is a very, very important thing. And what was Our Lady crying about? She said to the children that she could no longer hold back her son's arm of justice. So that's our Lord's arm. And what was the sins, or what were the sins that our Lord was very unhappy about? And they were blaspheming, using the name of God in vain, and number two, working on Sundays and not going to Mass. So just imagine that. Our Lady had to hold back her son's arm of justice for those two, yes, mortal sins, but just imagine the condition of the church and the world today. What does our Lord think of us? In fact, God will not be mocked. And what was the message of La Salette? Well, basically, Pope Pius IX at the time said, the message of La Salette is, unless we do penance, reparation, and sacrifice, we will all perish. And look at us today. So, I just find it very interesting that the submissions, we only have a few weeks to go, end on, the final date is the 19th of September. So in response to this radical abortion proposal, Family Life International in Auckland has decided to organise a pilgrimage for life. Now, it will go from the 1st September, and that is a Sunday, until Wednesday, the 18th of September. So what is going to happen? We will have two consecrated statues. One is the Sacred Heart of Jesus and one is the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And the Sacred Heart statue will start from Bluff and the Immaculate Heart of Mary statue will start from Cape Reinga. And both of these will start with a dawn rosary on Sunday the 1st of September. And from there, the two statues along with groups of pilgrims will travel from parish to parish throughout New Zealand and gradually over those 18 days make their way and join together in Wellington on the 18th, the day before the submissions close. So if anyone is out there listening and they would like to be involved in this historic event, and it will be historic because already we have so many people very, very excited to be part of this. And we have priests all over the country who have agreed to open their churches to host the pilgrims. So we're just about finished with the itinerary. But if you go to Family Life International to their website or just go to their events page, we will have everything up there shortly. There will be a map of New Zealand. It will be interactive. You'll be able to see the different locations, and we will get someone to update it every single day, able to watch the lines of the two statues as they move closer to Wellington. So again, as I said, if you'd like to be involved in some way, you can contact us through the website, or you can phone Claire at 022 1912 886. So that's Claire, 022 1912 886, and she'll be able to help you. Now, we are particularly keen to have priests join in the pilgrimage, and already we have one priest who is going to go from Cape Reinga to Wellington. So any other priests, if you know any, even some retired priests, please invite them along. And we're hoping that people will actually accompany the statues from their own parish to the next one, and perhaps even go longer. Now, you might even want to do the whole of one island yourself. You'd be most welcome. Unfortunately, it will be a bit of a heroic effort, because it will be time and it will be cost. Now, we obviously won't be able to pay for people's accommodation, but we are trying to organise billets along the route, and we've already had a few offers. So think about it. If you can't go, perhaps you could open your own home. And the proposed route is available. Again, if you ring that phone number, you will be able to have a look at where we hope to go. But anyway, I'll tell you now if you are listening. So starting from the South Island first, we are proposing that the statue of the Sacred Heart of Jesus will leave from Bluff on Sunday the 1st of September and then go to Invercargill for the day. On the 2nd of September, it will go from Invercargill to Gore for midday for a rosary, and then in the evening it will go to Balclutha for a mass. On Tuesday the 3rd of September, the statue will go from Balclutha to Milton around midday, and then from Milton on to Dunedin in the evening. Now, the statue will be there in Dunedin for a couple of days. So Wednesday the 4th of September, there will be one church at midday and then another in the evening. And then on Thursday the 5th of September, again, the Sacred Heart of Jesus statue will be in Dunedin all day. And then on Friday the 6th, it will then move from Dunedin to Oamaru, and that will be for the evening, arriving at lunchtime for the whole evening and night. On the 7th of September, the statue will move from Oamaru to Waimate at lunchtime, and then on to Timaru in the evening. On the 8th of September, which is the Sunday, the statue will move from Timaru to Temuka at lunchtime, and in the evening on to Ashburton. On Monday the 9th of September, from Ashburton to Christchurch. Now, the statue will stay in Christchurch right up until we've got Friday morning, Friday the 13th of September. From there, at midday, it will arrive at Rangiora, and in the evening, it will go to Leith Field. On Saturday morning, the 14th of September, it will go from Leith Field to Amberley, and then in the evening, it will arrive at Kaukoura. It will stay in Kaukoura for the whole of the day on the 15th of, that's a Sunday. Then Monday morning, the Sacred Heart statue will move on to Blenheim overnight. And then on the 17th from Blenheim, it will move to Picton. And then on the 18th, it will move from Picton through over the Straits through to Wellington, where it will meet up with the Immaculate Heart of Mary statue, which has been travelling down from Cape Reinga. So the other island itinerary is starting again from a Dawn Rosary from Cape Reinga. It will move through to Kaitaia and probably for the morning mass at 9 a.m. Now from there, later in the afternoon, we will move to Pangaroo and Motiti. Again, that's all on the itinerary. Now on Monday, the 2nd of September, we will move from Motiti to Kaiho at lunchtime and Kerikeri for the evening. On Tuesday, the 3rd of September, from Kerikeri in the morning to Moriwa at lunch and then to Whangarei. On the morning of the 4th of September, which is a Wednesday, the statue will move over to Dargaville and stay there overnight. Now, the 5th of September, which is a Thursday, the statue will move from Dargaville through to Wellsford at midday and then in the evening at Northcote on the North Shore. Now, Friday the 6th of September, in the morning it will go from Northcote to Te Atatū for midday, and then in the evening it will be in Avondale. Saturday the 7th of September, the Immaculate Heart of Mary statue will move from Avondale to Tiongawaka in Epsom at lunchtime, and then through to the St. John Paul II Centre in Mount Roskill for the evening and night. Now, Sunday, the 8th of September, the statue will move from Mount Roskill to St. Anne's in Mararewa, and then in the afternoon, evening to the Tyburn Monastery in Bombay. Monday, the 9th of September, the statue will move from Tyburn to Pukekohe at lunchtime, and then in late afternoon through to Hamilton. Tuesday, the 10th of September, the statue will move from Hamilton over to Te Awamutu for the whole day. Now, Wednesday, the 11th of September, the statue will move from Te Awamutu to Te Puna at lunchtime and Tauranga for the evening. Thursday, the 12th of September, the statue will move from Tauranga in the morning over to Rotorua, and it will go to St. Mary's first at midday and then to St. Michael's for the evening. On Friday the 13th of September, the statue will go from Rotorua to, and that's for the whole day. So on Saturday the 14th of September, the statue will move from Taupō to Ohakune over to Whanganui. And on Sunday, the 15th of September, the statue will be in Whanganui for the whole day. On Monday, the 16th of September, the statue will move from Whanganui to Palmerston North, and it will stay there overnight. Now, Tuesday, the 17th of September, the statue will move from Palmerston North over to Otaki at midday, and then to Tawa in the evening. Now, we haven't quite worked out what the final destination will be in Wellington on the 18th of September, so that will be finalised because we will need to have a fairly large church to accommodate pilgrims coming up from the South Island and pilgrims coming down from the North Island, so that's still to be decided. Now, we're just about at 3 o'clock, and so it's Divine Mercy Hour. So this is just a beautiful little prayer. It's the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and it's especially powerful to say when somebody is dying, because our Lord has promised to stand between the person and the just God as a merciful Saviour. So just, if you don't know it, you can just listen and hear the prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you're pregnant and worried, there's a fantastic organisation in Auckland, Family Life International, who you can ring, and there'll be someone on the end of the phone who can give you some encouragement and perhaps help you make a plan for the future. Now, the phone number is 0274 488 070. So give them a ring, and there's always someone who can just give you a bit of encouragement and a bit of support. Okay, now, reparation, that's something that we don't really understand, and it's something that we really have to do in these precarious and perilous times. Now, that was the message of Lancelette. And so what is reparation? Reparation is to repair for something that has happened. So if there are bad things going on in the world, and certainly there are, we have to make atonement for them. Now, if the person who has done the bad things doesn't want to make atonement, then we have to make reparation for them. So it's just something that we can do. We have to also offer sacrifices. And the children asked Our Lady at, or actually the angel of Portugal at Fatima in 1916, how to make sacrifices. And the angel said, make everything you do a sacrifice. So for example, all right, give up coffee for a month or 6 months, or what about giving it up permanently? Now, I know if you are a bit of a coffee addict, that would be one of the hardest things you could possibly ever do. But just imagine if you're standing at the gates of heaven and St. Peter says to you, what a shame, you should have given up that coffee, and it would have made, that sacrifice would have been just what you needed to get you over the line. Now, I'm being rather silly here, but certainly, you know, offering up things, that really does help. And generations ago, when something happened, the older people always said to offer it up. So offer it up for the souls in purgatory, to help them get into heaven. And that was just a standard little comment that we heard all the time. But when do you hear it today? To offer up your sufferings. And a saint, I'm not quite sure who said, but the greatest waste in the world today is suffering, because it could do so much good, but people don't really understand. So There is definitely a benefit and a side of suffering that is very worthy. In fact, you can't really serve people unless you have suffered to some degree, because through suffering you learn compassion. So wisdom born from pain. And also with regards to abortion, there is one way that you could drastically reduce the numbers of abortion, and that would be to teach chastity in schools. Now, I know that's not a very popular concept, but just imagine if we could actually show our young people that to be chaste is actually a wonderful thing. There have been studies all over the world trying to find out what makes happy marriages, and basically what they have found, that when two virgins marry, they have the happiest rankings on all of the scales that you could possibly imagine, as compared to other people who might have had, you know, a series of relationships or have lived together, etc., etc., etc. And why that is that when you are a virgin, you have no baggage to bring to the marriage, no insecurity, no sort of trust issues, etc., etc. And I've read once this statement about a man, and a true story, and he loved his wife dearly, absolutely adored her. But the problem was he couldn't get the other seven women out of the bedroom. And that was his seven previous partners. And that's, you know, it's a huge thing. And for the woman, you know, I guess she would possibly always be, in a way, comparing herself to a woman that, you know, she's never met. So, you know, all those sort of, as I said, insecurity issues just wouldn't even arise. So if you could teach our young children chastity, they would just be able to concentrate on their lives, get on with their studies, just get on with enjoying life and making lots and lots of friends instead of, you know, going from relationship to a relationship. I once asked a coroner what was the main factor in suicides and for young people, and he said two things. Basically, it was the breakdown of a sexual relationship. Because, you know, you're talking about young people handling a divorce, which even adults can't handle. And the other thing was family problems. And a lot of the problems were broken families, brokenness, and a lot of other problems which often come with that. You have depression, drug abuse, alcohol addiction, etc., etc., etc. So you can see that there's actually something to be said if you could actually convince our young people, just get on with your lives and just stop worrying about, you know, getting into sexual relationships. I'm not sure where the time goes, but we've finished another program, so make sure you join us next week and we'll be talking more about the pilgrimage.
The road is long. Heavy, he's my brother.